الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
انشاءاللہ تعالی ابھی چندہ بنگلہ دیش کے ایک ادارے جامعہ الاسلامیہ حبیگونی کا ہے. تمام حضرات سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ وہ ضرور تعاون کرے اپنے صدقات زکوٰۃ اور یوہی للہ کے ذریعے سے. Inshallah ta'ala, there will be a talk after the remaining dua. Brothers are requested to participate.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله لك الشكر كله اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكرنا ذكرنا ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا إلى اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنك عفو كريم اللهم افتح قفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا نعمتك وأسبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين خير خزايا ولا مفتونين اللهم أحيينا وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صديحا عصيتنا جزا الله عنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده لا شريك له والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم وإن الذين اختلفوا فيه لفي شك منه ما لهم به من علم إلا اتباع الظن وما قتلوه يقينا بل رفعه الله إليه وكان الله عزيزا حكيما وإن من أهل الكتاب إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته ويوم القيامة يكون عليهم شهيدا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين The reality is that in today's Jumu'ah Bayan, I intended to engage in a discussion regarding Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Due to myself unable to do so, for this reason, insha'Allah ta'ala, I'm going to present a few points in this regard before yourselves at this particular moment in time. Once it comes to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, we believe that there are three main phases to the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The first phase is that phase in which Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was present within the world and he was a prophet of the Banu Israel. The second phase is that in which Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is currently residing within the heavens. And the final third phase is that in which Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend close to the end of times. Once we assess Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's first phase, whether that be the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the duration between the birth and the ascension of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and also his ascension within itself. Everything with regards to the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is totally miraculous. Once it comes to miracles, there's a few very important points we need to understand. Living in a time where many a people claim to believe in science alone, we need to try to understand that we don't only confine our information we gain to science. There are many a points people unanimously accept, and they are such in nature that either science cannot lead to them, or science may lead to them, but not in their totality. The reason for this is that once it comes to science, which many of us have been influenced by, the information we have in the form of science, we have either gained through the means of observation, meaning what we can see with this naked eye of ours, or if not, then the information we have within science is that which has been gained through experimentation. This experimentation at certain times, we refer to this as induction. Let me explain myself to yourselves. In science, we believe in those things which we can see with our own naked eye. I see people living before myself, I believe in them. Whatever I witness with this eye of mine, I will believe in it. This much information is present within science. Why? Because this has been gained through the means of observing. The second manner I mentioned is either experimentation or induction. Let me give you an example of this before I mention what it refers to. Myself sitting within this hall, if I was to experience child after child walk through that door into this hall, and every one of those who enter this hall is a child, they are not old in age, science will then lead me to the understanding that the next individual who is about to walk through this door, this individual will also be a child. This individual will not be an elder. This is what we refer to as induction. Induction means that we look towards a few individual cases. After assessing them, we form a general principle. So I observed a few individual instances in which children walk through the door into the hall. I then base and form a principle upon that, that the next one to walk through this door will also be a child. Now we all know that induction is problematic. Why? It's possible the reality is contrary to that. I'm seeing child after child walk into this door. I cannot mention this as a general principle that every person to walk through this door will now be a child. The reason is simple. It's possible an elder walks through the door. There was a certain time in the past where many of us may have heard of this term, this understanding. It's called the black swan problem. And this is that many a people were of the understanding that swans can only be white in color. And the reason for that was that they only observed through their naked eyes swans to be white in color. They then, based upon induction, form this principle that every swan will definitely be white. Why? Because the swans we have observed so far, they are all white. But the reality is that within Europe itself, people then came across swans which were black in color. Through this, they understood that induction doesn't promote decisive knowledge, it promotes speculative knowledge. It can possibly be true, it can also be false as well. Now, this is just examples I'm giving with regards to the information we gain through science is very, very limited. And I've mentioned that we cannot gain information with regards to every matter through science. Let me give you one example. I was having a discussion with an atheist around 3 weeks ago, or a month ago. And as soon as we started this discussion, I said to him that, what do you want me to present matters in the light of? He said, science. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I said, what's the reason? Is the reason because you only accept that which you understand in light of science and you reject everything you cannot understand in light of science? He said, yes. I said, that means that we can't move further yet. The being of Allah Ta'ala is something much greater than science. I asked him a simple question. I said, once it comes to historical facts, once it comes to history, can you prove them to be correct in the light of science? You've not observed something from the past, nor can you come to a conclusion based upon induction regarding something pertaining to the past. So I said that, do you believe in history? So he thought for a while and he said to me that I do believe in history, but there's a possibility whatever we understand with regards to the past is incorrect. I said, are you sure? He said, I'm 100% sure about this. Nothing regarding the past is decisive. I said, MashaAllah, very, very good. I questioned him. I said, do you have a great, 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 great grandmother? He said, obviously I do. I said, no. How can you have a great, 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 great grandmother when this relates to history and you cannot prove history to be correct in the light of science? He said, well then, 99.9999%, I did have a grandmother. I said, no, if you didn't have a grandmother, you wouldn't be here today. And your presence, your existence is an evidence you did in reality have a great, 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 great grandmother. So he went quiet. I said, do you accept you have the great, 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 great? He said, yes, I do. I said, that means you understand things you cannot come to a conclusion with regards to in the light of science. He agreed, he said, yes. I said, once you've understood this, let me give you a few more examples. We've got mathematics. Can we understand maths in the light of science? Understand this, please. If I say 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 equals 4, science cannot verify this. There's a difference. One is I say that 2 mobiles plus 2 mobiles equal 4 mobiles. Science can verify this. Why? Because science can observe the mobile. So we'll say one mobile, we've got another mobile we can observe. We put those two aside, we add two more mobiles to them we can observe. We've got four mobiles in total, science can verify this. I said the quantity too within itself, which you cannot visualize, you cannot observe. Can you tell me whether 2 plus 2 is correct in the light of science? He said, no. I said, is 2 plus 2 4? He said, yes. I said, again, I've proved the same point. I said, there's many matters which everyone unanimously agrees with regards to. They cannot be understood in the light of science. And I said, the many things you can understand in the light of science, they are such in nature that you cannot comprehend them totally. Let me give you an example. Once it comes to the amount of cells we have within our bodies, science will give you an approximate figure. But no one, once it comes to science, will give you a decisive figure that this is the exact amount of cells you have within your body. We've got a matter which science does lead us to, but we cannot fully comprehend it in the light of science. If we want to base everything we understand in the light of science alone, then there's many things people unanimously accept which are obvious and blatant, we cannot also accept them. So the reason I'm mentioning this is, science is something. Science does aid us. But science is not the end result. Science cannot tell you the reality of matters. So once it comes to miracles, we try to think that are miracles scientifically possible or not? So understand, number one, why do we have the concept of miracles within Islam? People ask this question, why do you believe in miracles? Why do you have the concept of miracles in Islam? I'm going to explain this in light of an example.
I walk into this room and there's many a people sitting here. We start discussing any matter. Once it comes towards the end of the discussion, just generally we ask each other, what car do you have? What car do you have? What car do you have? And we are all medium class working individuals. None of us have any sort of job that based upon our income, we can have a sports car, a supercar, a Lamborghini, for example. So I say that I've got an Audi. Another individual says that I've got a Mercedes. Another one says I've got a BMW. And we end up at one person within this same group of people. And this individual says that I don't have any of those cars. I have the most expensive car in the world. Everyone will look towards each other and they'll say, that how can this individual have this car when his income is the same as our income? Everyone will have this question. It's an obvious question. And what conclusion will everyone come to? That he's not bought it through his own wealth. It's being bought through the wealth and wealth of another individual. Once it comes to Islam, in the time of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, there were people who were living and they used to think that this Prophet is like ourselves. There is no difference between this individual and ourselves. يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ He consumes food like ourselves. وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ He walks in the marketplace like ourselves. There is no difference. So when the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala then engaged in an act which no one else was able to engage in, despite having the same ability and power as them due to being humans, the conclusion people then came to, that this individual has been aided by a greater being, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the concept of miracles within Islam. Recently I was sitting in the back of the masjid and someone was saying to me that I've come across this individual and he says that he doesn't perform salah behind you guys. Why? Because you guys say the Prophet is the same as you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, if the Prophet was the same as us, then why would I not take my brother to be something special? Why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There must be something special I accept within the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which makes him unlike other individuals, due to which I don't opt to follow any other individual. I opt to give my life to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, no, no, no. He said that you people believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a brother. I said, is it problematic? If it is problematic, the Quran mentions, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا That to Madian we sent the brother Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. Once it came to Aad, we sent a brother to them, i.e. the Prophet who was sent towards them. I said, the Quran is mentioning that the brother is our Prophet, that the Prophet is our brother. If we say, or in any of our works you find, that there is a relationship of brotherhood, ukhuwat, between ourselves and a Prophet, if you say this is problematic, then the first thing we need to resort towards is the Quran and say that, na'udhu billah, the Quran is problematic. So we've understood why miracles. Now I'm going to give you two logical manners through which we can understand the concept of miracles. I'm sitting in this hall and I say, the general principle within this hall is whoever comes after the Asr Salah and they remain in this hall till the Maghrib Salah, they are to engage in the recitation of the glorious Quran. General principle I formed. Is it possible for myself to make an exclusion from this general principle? Is it possible for me to say, Uthman, you don't recite the Quran, you engage in another task? It's more than possible. Understand this. Once it comes to me being a feeble, weak individual with limited ability and limited power, after having formed a general principle, I can exclude from that. If Allah Ta'ala sets a general principle, why is Allah Ta'ala, due to His unlimited power, unlimited ability, not able to exclude from that? This is the reality of a miracle, my brothers. The reality is the normal principle that fire burns an individual. it comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, ya naru ofayakuni baradan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Do not harm Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala excluded from the general principle. Normally fire burns. Allah Ta'ala excluded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Fire didn't burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The general principle is that an individual, once he undertakes a journey, then it takes a certain amount of time to undertake a journey in accordance with the length of the journey. Allah Ta'ala excluded once it came to this principle when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam undertook his miraculous night journey of Mi'raj. So if we being feeble, weak individuals can exclude from general principles we form, then what makes us think that Allah Ta'ala, despite being the all-powerful and the all-able, is unable to exclude from general principles Allah Ta'ala forms? Second point I want you to remember, through which we can understand the concept of miracles. If a child walks into this hall of the masjid, and after walking into the hall of this masjid, we find this big mic here. It's quite heavy, mashallah. I'm even having difficulty lifting this up. So now I can give an example of myself, never mind a child. So I'm here. I find it difficult to lift this mic up. I'll probably drop it, to tell you the truth. I won't even try to do it. In trying to act like a hero, I'll become zero in front of everyone. I can't lift it. I've not got that much ability and power. Then, if I was to still, despite this, be able to lift this, everyone will come to this conclusion that Saifuddin lifted the mic, which he cannot normally lift based upon his own ability and power. This means that there's the power of a stronger being behind him. That means there's some hench person who walked into the masjid, and when Saifuddin put his hand onto the mic to lift it, that hench individual put his hand around the hand of Saifuddin, and through the assistance of that hench being, Saifuddin was then able to lift the mic. In a similar manner, once it comes to miracles, we normally think that how is it possible for an individual, a human with limited ability and power, to carry out such an action? Remember, once it comes to miracles, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Anbiya are not the subject. The subject is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you an evidence for this from the Quran. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi Laylan min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Once it comes to the miraculous night journey of Mi'raj, does the Quran mention the Prophet himself undertook this journey? Or does the Quran mention Subhanalladhi asra? It is the being of Allah Ta'ala who made the Prophet undertake this journey. So when I, through my limited ability and power, cannot lift this mic, but when a hench individual's assistance is included with myself, I am able to lift this mic. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot undertake the miraculous night journey of Mi'raj himself, once he has Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, the unlimited, unrestricted power of Allah Ta'ala behind him, why can he not undertake such a journey? Understand another question, answer to another objection. Not the splitting of the moon. The splitting of the moon. Alhamdulillah, we believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam split the moon. We've got no doubt within this whatsoever. I can doubt the apparent cause of my existence, but I cannot doubt that the moon was split by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many people say the moon was split. How many people saw it? How many accounts do we have? If the moon was split, the moon can be seen globally. So how many people would have seen this moon split in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Please present to us accounts in this regard. My brothers, remember, if we think a little, all these objections people present with regards to Islam, they are totally irrational. Upon the name of ration, there is nothing but irrationality being spread. First question is, that are we talking about the sun or the moon being split? The moon. Does the moon come out during the day or the night? During the night. During the night, do the majority of the people be asleep or remain awake? They be asleep. That's 99% of the population upon the earth already aside asleep. Say we've got 1% remaining. these 1% who are awake during the night, when they go around their normal tasks, do they go around their normal tasks looking forward, or do they go around their normal tasks while looking up towards the sky? And brothers, when we be driving around during the night time on the M62 or on any other motorway, do we be driving looking up? That's if we've got one of those glass roofs on top, then it's different. We all be looking forward. So how many more from amongst the population no longer remain? Next question is, when it took place, once it comes to the moon, was the moon clearly visible upon that night or not? Why? Because the clouds might have been covering the moon somewhat. How many more then go out of contention? And then the question is finally, did it take place for a long duration of time, or was it something which took place momentarily? Momentarily, how many do you then expect to see the splitting of the moon? If you say that more people should have seen it, that's more of a miracle, but you don't even believe in miracles. So we're showing you a small miracle, and to believe the small miracle, you want bigger miracles to have taken place. So this is the concept of miracles. I said Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's life, from the time of his birth all the way until the time Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend from the heavens, everything is nothing but a miracle. Now please understand. We say Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is currently within the heavens. This is our belief. Now there's many objections. One objection is, he's in the heavens. Where does he eat from? Where does he drink from? Why? Because the Quran mentions, once it comes to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and his mother Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, kana ya'kulani ta'am. They both used to eat. So that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, with regards to whom the Quran mentions he would eat, then once Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is within the heavens, where does he eat from? Where does he drink from? And if he is importing in a nice way, then how is he exporting whatever he consumes? Objections. So in order to give you an answer to this objection, I'm going to present three verses of the Quran before yourselves. Remember, the glorious Quran doesn't only refer to the wording, it refers to the meaning and the intent of the Quran as well, which was inspired upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Within the glorious Quran, I'm going to mention three verses. Verse number one. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا عَبْدٌ أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَثَلًا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the first phase of the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was amongst the Banu Israel. Second verse. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ مَلَائِكَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ يَخْلُفُونَ In this second verse, Allah Ta'ala gives an indication towards the second phase of the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, which he is currently experiencing within the heavens. And within this verse, we have an answer to the objections people make with regards to the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in the heavens. And the final third verse, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ We find a mention of the third phase of the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend upon the earth. Now some people say that why is Isa alayhi salatu wasalam going to come when we aren't even going to follow him? We're still going to be following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Once it comes to who's going to lead us in prayer, it's going to be Imam Mahdi alayhi ridwan. So why is Isa alayhi salatu wasalam going to come down? So Allah Ta'ala answers in these verses. Allah Ta'ala mentions that we have three phases of the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The first coming of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was for one reason, and his second coming will be for another reason. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Libani Israel, in his first coming, when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was amongst the Banu Israel, the reason for why he came in his first phase was مثلاً for the Banu Israel to follow him as a role model and to take him as a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first phase, لِبَنِي Israel, was amongst the Banu Israel. The objective, the purpose, Allah Ta'ala mentions مثلاً, he was a role model for them, he was their prophet, they were to follow in his footsteps. Once it comes to the third phase, his second coming, oh Allah Ta'ala, when will that occur? When will that transpire? When will he come in his second coming? Allah Ta'ala mentions as-sa'ah. It will be towards the end of times. What's the objective? Is it that the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam follow him, like the Banu Israel followed him in his first phase? Allah Ta'ala says, no. عَلَمٌ لَا عِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. He will come as a sign for the hour. Two different phases for two different reasons. If the second phase was without a reason, then you can object. When the first phase has one reason, the second phase has another reason, then both comings then make sense with regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ye bhi samajh lo. That some people say, why will the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam not come for a second time? Why is it Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? Remember, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is that Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍ مِّنْ. With regards to which all divine religions have a difference of opinion. We look towards the Jews. According to them, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was an imposter. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, he was a false prophet. Once it comes to the Christians are now of the belief that either they believe in Trinity, they believe Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to be God, or they believe Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to be the Son of God. The Jews have one opinion regarding him. The Christians have another opinion regarding him. And us being the Muslimun, we also have a different opinion with regards to him. The question is that whose opinion is correct in this regard? Allah Ta'ala wants to clarify this before the hereafter. And Allah Ta'ala wants to give those individuals who will be living at that precise moment when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam descends a second opportunity in order to reform the beliefs with regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. The Jews and Christians who will be around at the time of the descent of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, once they see Isa alayhi salatu wasalam come down, they will realize the reality. The opinion of the Muslimun with regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was correct. The Jews will say that, no, he wasn't an imposter. The Christians will say he wasn't a divine being. He was but a messenger, a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. Before the demise of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, due to the second opportunity they have been given, they will also believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first phase has its own objective. Third phase, final phase, has its own objective. Question. Oh Allah Ta'ala, in between Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's within the heavens, where does he eat from? Where does he drink from? After importation, how does exportation take place? Allah Ta'ala gives the answer in the second verse between the two verses, which indicates towards the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam within the heavens. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ مَلَائِكَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ يَخْلُفُونَ. The angels. The angels. Once it comes to those who usually reside upon the earth, they are the humankind. And once it comes to the main residers of the heavens, they are the angels. For this reason, in this verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions the angels. He's indicating towards the heavens where Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is currently residing and currently staying. Once it comes to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he has an impact of the angels upon himself, which we don't have within ourselves. Why? Once we look towards the tafsir of Imam Tabari rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayh, he mentions a narration upon the authority of Ubayy ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala an. We have all heard of this covenant which took place at the time when Allah Ta'ala had created the souls in what we refer to as Alamul Arwah, the world of the souls. This has been mentioned within the glorious Quran. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا. We all responded by saying, O Allah Ta'ala, indeed you are our Lord. So when this covenant was taken, after this, all the souls were returned. According to Ubayy ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's narration, there was one soul Allah Ta'ala never returned, that soul was kept by Allah Ta'ala. And this was the soul of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This soul of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was kept by Allah Ta'ala. When the time came for Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha to expect Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to take this soul of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and blow it into Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And this is the reason for why we refer to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as Ruhullah, the soul of Allah ta'ala. Why? His soul was kept behind when the remainder of the souls were left to go. And it's through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was the soul of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam blown into Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So my soul, your souls and our souls, they are not blown into our mothers through the means of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. But once it comes to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his soul was blown into Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha through the means of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the influence of the main angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam upon Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So despite being human, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had an influence of the angels upon him. Whilst he was living upon earth, where humans usually reside, we saw the side of being a human of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And once he was then transported to the heavens where the angels usually reside, Allah Ta'ala made apparent and made manifest the effects of the angels, malaika, upon Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He's got the influence, he's got the impact of the angels upon him. The question, do angels eat? No. Do angels drink? No. When there is no importation, there is no exportation. So due to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam having this influence of the main angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam within his life, once he has gone to the heavens, and the heavens are where the angels usually reside, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has become similar to them. Needs will only become relevant with regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam once he again descends upon the earth. So this is the miraculous nature of the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And my brothers remember, one brother said to me a few days ago that you discuss these issues and wo to qubool karne wale hai hi nahi. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I said, two people reverted in the past 1 month. This is one person, alhamdulillah. Imagine how many other people are working out there and how many more people are reverting. I said, even if no one reverts, it doesn't make a difference to us. Why? Humne apno ka iman pakka karna hai. My brothers, we go out there, our children go to schools, then they move on to colleges, universities, we've got our work environments. How many different concepts do we hear? How many different objections do we hear with regards to Islam? And if we don't discuss them here, we have a slight doubt with regards to a major tenet of our beliefs, then that is sufficient for us to no longer remain within the fold of Iman. إِنَّ الْعَقَائِدَ كُلَّهَا أُسٌّ لِإِسْلَامِ الْفَتَى. Indeed, the belief system of every believing individual is his foundation. إِنْ ضَاعَ أَمْرٌ وَاحِدٌ مِّنْ بَيْنِهِنَّ فَقَدْ غَوَى. Even if one of his major tenets of belief become corrupt, this individual no longer remains a believer. Iman refers to that with regards to which we have satisfaction, with regards to which we are at peace with. If we are not at peace with our beliefs, we aren't satisfied with our beliefs, and na'udhu billah, we have somewhat doubt with regards to our beliefs, our iman no longer remains intact. So I normally say that if those people out there who claim to follow, respect, revere Isa alayhi salatu wasalam were to come across the amount of miracles we accept for Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they'll say, do you know what? You respect Isa more than ourselves, due to which we want to believe in the Islam you follow. Our iman is not complete, my brothers, until we don't believe in all the previous prophets of Allah Ta'ala. Our iman is not complete until we believe in all the previous books and scriptures revealed by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. When we start reciting the Quran, we finish Al-Fatiha, we come to Surah Al-Baqarah, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. We don't only believe in the revelation which came upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also believe in revelation which came upon messengers prior to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once it comes to Christians, then they believe in Isa alaihi salatu wasallam. They say we don't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once it comes to the Jews, they say we believe in Musa alaihi salatu wasallam. We don't believe in Isa alaihi salatu wasallam. Alhamdulillah. We follow that religion, we follow that sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which we don't deny any of them, we accept each one of the two with alongside our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in what manner? لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. We don't differentiate between them. That we believe in this one, we don't believe in this one. We explain to them, our iman, our beliefs cannot, never mind become complete, cannot even come into existence, never mind become valid, without believing in Musa and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and similarly, believing in the revelation which came upon each one of those two prophets of Allah Ta'ala, until it was not tampered with, it wasn't distorted, it wasn't altered. We still believe in that original form if it's upon the earth anywhere in this day and age. And if it's been tampered, if it's been changed, then we believe that it has become such. Why? Because those rulings are no longer relevant. Now the rulings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are relevant. And have pride in this Quran, my brothers. Have pride in this Quran. You know, we take this Quran to be lightly. This, have pride in this Quran. This Quran in reality is the perfect manual. This Quran has the solution for all our problems. This Quran has the answers to every one of our questions. We don't read through the Quran. We don't sit by the ulama in order to understand the Quran. And we start to question the Quran ourselves. Remember, out there you're going to find many people say, oh, Mawlana, do you know there's an objection upon this? I say, do you know there's an objection upon the being of Allah? I say, Mawlana, there's an objection upon this. I said, do you know there's an objection with regards to the Prophet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I said, there are going to be objections. I said, this worldly life is a test. And in this test, you get good and you get bad. I'll finish off with this final point. I was having a discussion with this individual. And he said, why has Allah Ta'ala created evil for? I said, okay, mashallah. I said, first we'll have a discussion about free will. Free choice. We've not been forced. He said, okay. I said, according to yourself, should we be forced to do anything? Or should there be total free will, free choice? He said, total free will, free choice. I said, discussion finished. Let's move back to the first one. He said, what do you mean? I said, if Allah Ta'ala only created good, there was no evil, where would your free choice go? He said, oh, do you know, you've made a good point. I said, okay. I said, number two. I said, do you know once you've got an exam and it's a multiple choice exam, do you only have the correct answers or do you have the incorrect answers there as well? He said, the incorrect answers. I said, a wise teacher in this world will only give such a multiple choice question in an exam paper which has correct and incorrect. How do you expect Allah Ta'ala to give us a multiple choice exam during this life? There's only correct, there is no incorrect. So this is the reality, my brothers. Alhamdulillah, we have answers with regards to everything. And during this month of Ramadan, let's make an intention that regardless of which objections are aimed towards Islam, the Quran, the Sunnah, the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're just going to keep going. Why? There's objections regarding everything. Once we accept that we believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a true prophet, it means we believe the Quran to be the true final message of Allah Ta'ala. There's no need to look towards nitty-gritty. Once you accept the two first points, there's no need to look towards the remainder. If I walk into a shop and I find upon an item, it says suitable for vegetarians. I don't think this is a good example. Why? Because even though you've got suitable for vegetarians, what can you have in a dietary product which still renders it haram? Alcohol. You can still have alcohol. But say for example that suitable for vegetarians, say for example it included alcohol as well. So say we've got suitable for vegetarians. Once I see that label upon that dietary product, is there any need for me to individually assess every ingredient within that dietary product? The answer is no. The other way I can go about things is that let me look at every individual ingredient, assess it individually, and then come to the conclusion that this is halal and lawful for myself to consume. My brothers, once you've understood the Quran is the final true message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means everything within it is correct. There is no need to look at each individual verse. And if you were to try to look towards each individual verse, then remember what I'm going to tell you. It's possible we don't even live till I mention my next sentence, never mind till we can go through the entire Quran. That's why believe in the Quran, believe in the Sunnah. You've got any questions, my brothers, you've got any objections, I'm here, you can approach me whenever you want. And youngsters, please remember, never think that you've not got anyone to go towards. It's not because, remember, it's not because I've got the answers. It's not because I've got the answers. Ek alim tha jo na'udhu billah murtad ho gaya. Alhamdulillah, wo wapas Islam ki taraf a gaya. But he came to so many conclusions. He said, this is like this, this is like this, this is like this. I said, okay. Then I gave him the answers to those objections. Then I mentioned something very important. I said, remember, my brother. I said, a Muslim may not have the answer. A Muslim may not have the answer, but Islam always has the answer. Now, this Islam we follow, it's got the answer to every question of ours, even though a Muslim may not have it. And when a Muslim doesn't have it, it doesn't mean every Muslim doesn't have it as well. If I'm sitting here and I realized, you know what, I've got some physical illness. After I realized I've got a physical illness, I said, you know what? According to my understanding, there is no medication for this. So that means there is no medication for this end off. I'll never do that. Why? I'll know that in the world of medicine, there is a medication for this. What will then I do? وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. I will resort towards those who have more knowledge in this regard in comparison to myself. I'll go to one, I'll go to another. And a time will come when someone will give me information with regards to a medication regarding this physical illness of mine. Yes, once it comes to medication, due to it being based upon the research of limited humans, for this reason, it's possible there is a medication which yet has not come out or it may never come out. But once it comes to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, it's based upon the infinite knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, which has no beginning, no end, pre-eternal and eternal. This has everything within it. So remember, any questions, you ask the ulama, you never shy away. Never brush anything under the carpet. Why? You never know when it's going to resurface. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to believe in all his prophets, ala nabiyyina wa alayhim as-salatu wasalam, to believe in the original form of revelation which came upon each one of them. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to portray the manner in which we understand Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to those who have misconceptions with regards to our understanding regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And finally, may Allah Ta'ala grant us death upon iman. And may Allah Ta'ala raise us with all the anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam within the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.